Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
It's one of the largest counties in the United States. It is 4,084 square miles of I Love LA. Because of the uptick in cases and deaths, they've decided to take action, they being the supervisors, etc., the city council. So the Los Angeles coronavirus update is this. Stay-at-home orders have kicked in. Woo! Turkey Day, you celebrated, now it's a ban. A ban on everything from outdoor dining to not wearing a mask when you just go out to exercise. So the rules are pretty tight on this. And we'll see. Gatherings household only, except for protests and the occasional church. The essential retail, 35% maximum occupancy. Non-essential retail and personal care, 20% occupancy. Fitness centers, etc., 50% or less. Remember, they had really shot up where you could pretty much count on it was reopened, and now it's not reopened. So they've got 5,014 new cases, 16 additional deaths on Sunday. There are 2,000 plus hospitalized with COVID-19. That's in the county, just in the county of LA. So they've decided, the county decided, we need to have new safer at home orders, and we got to put limits on gatherings, activities, business occupancy, that kind of thing. So they're hoping that 2 to 3 weeks from Monday, they're going to find themselves in a better place instead of a worse place, right? So playgrounds, card rooms closed. They were allowed to open up in October. Now they're closed again. It means, if my math is correct, the order would last until December 20th, right? And again, restaurants were ordered to close for indoor in-person dining, meaning you could run something out to a car, but that's it at this point. They've had 395,000 COVID-19 cases. And again, this is that county since the start of the pandemic, and more than 7,600 deaths. So they decided enough is enough, and this is what we're going to do. So we'll see if it works in L.A. And they did have that one-day spike of 5,000 new cases. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, so welcome to it. L.A., it's funny, is a place where one of my best buddies lives, and I know a lot of people that live in California. And right before the pandemic hit, I was supposed to be in California. I was taking the show to California, and I was going to be in Los Angeles and Palm Springs, but it did not happen. So they tightened their restrictions, and across the country, we're seeing it's kind of a mixed bag. When I say mixed bag, because it's up to the area. It's up to the counties, and it's up to the states as to what they're doing. Some stricter than others. Deaths, according to the CDC, with a mix of what John Hopkins is saying, 268,000 in the United States. That's out of 13.6 million cases. Hey, hey, to all the people listening to us in the UK and Australia and Wales and other places, 1.47 million deaths worldwide. So you wrap in our cases, the U.S. cases, with that. That's deaths, 1.47 million deaths. Total cases, 63.2 million. And I think people are, you know, trying to find a place to escape, right? So now the CDC is telling you, because think of L.A., let's go to Mexico. They're telling Americans not to travel to Mexico because the airlines are seeing an increased demand for wanting to go to Mexico because people want to travel, go to a beach, and escape. But in the past 2 weeks, Mexico surpassed 100,000 deaths due to the virus and over a million cases since the beginning of the pandemic. So the chances of getting COVID, that's not, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going someplace, you think you're escaping it, but little do you know, you're not escaping it at all, right? And see, here's the thing. In Hawaii and in the Caribbean, if you go there, you have to have a negative COVID-19 test to enter, or they won't let you enter. But in Mexico, you don't have to have it. So you enter at your own risk, you leave at your own risk, that whole kind of thing. And more people are feeling like, okay, that's easy to slide into Mexico, right? And you got the great hotels. They're not at capacity. So I'm going to jet off there and just get away. And there's cheap vacation deals to be had. But the thought is that could make the pandemic worse in the United States. Because, of course, again, it's about who you're in contact with. What are they spreading? And everything in between. So besides that, how was your Thanksgiving? Yeah, the good news is I was thinking about this on Thanksgiving. Next year, Thanksgiving, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, it should be that you can travel freely and go to grandmother's house or whoever's house you want to go to and have a giant behemoth party if you choose and you don't have to worry about it. The mask weariness you can see among a lot of people, and I also think it's not always intentional because sometimes people just forget. They have the mask, they're in their pockets, they're in their cars, and they're running around, and I call it, it's kind of COVID head, and you're not thinking about it, and then you dash out of the car, and you've forgotten the mask. Now a lot of businesses just say, no mask, no entree. It's kind of like no shirt, no shoes. I'm starting to see that in a lot of places. You might not be seeing the same thing in your neck of the woods. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.
Good the people are in our communities. The holidays are certainly a time when many people think about giving back and kicking off their season of giving campaign today. Facebook is announcing a $7 million match in donations to U.S. nonprofits and launching a new drives feature on community help to encourage people to give however they can. We know this. Giving is more important than ever this year. And, of course, throughout the season, Facebook will be celebrating people who are giving back in inspiring ways and show how everyone has something to give. So Giving Tuesday is a very, very big day. Here's Naomi Gelight, the VP of Product at Facebook, with more.
With many out of work and food security affecting nearly 1 in 3 people in the U.S. due to COVID-19, a lot of people are relying on the generosity of others right now. To encourage people to give in whatever way they can this holiday season, Facebook is kicking off a Season of Giving campaign today. Because even a small act of kindness can make a big difference to someone.
Yeah, and that's no doubt about that. Thanks, Naomi. There's so many people that are in need. So you can get involved by starting a fundraiser of your own on Facebook or share or donate to an existing one. There's new fundraising tools on Instagram. Donation stickers have been a popular way to share important causes, and you've got the Instagram Live fundraisers and personal fundraisers too. So easy to find. You can find out these ways and more to get involved. Go to about.fb.com/seasonofgiving. Woohoo! It is a time to give back. It is, and it feels good. So I'm thrilled that they're doing that, of course, and it's great. The $7 million match to nonprofits Giving Tuesday is a very, very important and big deal. All right, speaking of giving back, how much did you give out on Cyber Monday? We'll see what the numbers pour in and what they look like, but I'm certain it's going to be probably a record-breaking Cyber Monday. I mean, Black Friday broke records, and I can't imagine that we're not going to see the same thing for Cyber Monday, because there was deals to be had, and a lot of it had to do with desks and electronics and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, what are the popular things? Like I mentioned before, laptops, Apple Watches, things that you can use while you're at home, things that people are doing at home. And they think, at least heading into it, that shoppers would spend about $12.7 billion, or 35% more than in 2019. Wow, seems like such a giant number, doesn't it? See, I like the giving thing. I don't know, there's something about giving versus getting, right? And of course, people, you have desires of, oh, I really want this or want that. But I'm wondering how, for most people, and there's no way to necessarily measure this, do material things, especially when you've gone through like this pandemic, do material things really resonate that much with you? You know, remember the old adage about, oh, it's the thought that counts. I think it really is the thought that counts. And I think Thanksgiving especially probably hit home for a lot of people, because what they would normally do, whatever the tradition was, whatever reminded them of the tradition, they might not have had a chance to do, because they didn't want to travel. They didn't want to take the risk. They want to wait till, which was smart, they want to wait until next year. But they miss, you miss whatever, it could be anything. It could be your own thing that you do that just reminds you of something that was great in childhood or at some other point in your life. I do believe that. I think that we, as humans, not only do we crave connection of some sort, even if we're more of an isolating person, you still crave some sort of connection. I think the link to whatever the childhood good memory was, or adult memory is, and a lot of times it centers around holidays, hopefully for most of you, then that's what you want. That's what you want to recreate in some way. And so to me, it's about, I think if anything, I think more than stuff, it's about the experience. It's about the experience. Because look at, I mean, the news is bleak when it comes. Certainly the economy, the economics of what some people are living. I mean, Disney, I talked about this in a previous show, they upped their layoffs to 32,000 workers because their parks have been closed because of the virus. And it's crushing them to the point where they're saying they can't do it because of the impacts, the changing environment, how they operate, the staffing, the critical business roles, all that sort of thing. They've had to add thousands more to the list. And you think about previous, I mean, look, nothing in life is static, right? You know, the old saying about what happens when you make plans. But if you worked at Disney and you worked there for a long time, or you liked your job at Disney, or you were a kid and you needed the money and you were working there, it was just the greatest job. And then to see that go away, it's a place where you would think normally, this is pretty safe. I mean, it's the turnstiles. There's so many people coming through here, nothing's going to happen with this. But who could have seen the pandemic, right? So the parks, the products, the experiences, they lost $1.1 billion in the quarter. And they are way below capacity, of course. And then cruise ships, which would pump in normally a bunch of money to their bottom line, poof, same thing. They're not open. Ugh. Want some good news? All right, here's the good news. The good news is on the vaccine front. And yes, we could argue about what about the safety of this and is everybody going to get it and what are the guidelines going to be and what are the advisory panels telling us. But Moderna's racing, Pfizer's racing, they have this. They're already looking at refrigeration. All that dry ice is being ordered for the deliveries. It'll go to different states. States will decide what happens from theirs, from what I understand it to be. And there is an advisory committee on immunization practices, and they're debating the question, when can I get a COVID vaccine? And they're talking about, you know, with these two pharmaceutical firms that are just weeks away from funneling the products across the U.S., what would be the principles for orderly I mean, this is like a logistics nightmare, but a silver lining in another way. How do you do this distribution in an orderly way with these vaccines? 21 million healthcare workers. That's who's going to get it first. It's going to be frontline essential people. It's going to be teachers, because look how many teachers have died from COVID. It's going to be COVID-19. It's going to be teachers. It's going to be farm workers. It's going to be energy industry workers. It's going to be people with high-risk medical conditions. It's going to be people over 65. So I was thinking about this. This is like the reverse. This is like the reverse of some of the movies where when there's only so much room, right? It's got to be the youngest people are getting on board the ship. Because if you're over 50, 60, whatever, that, no. And here it's the reverse of it. It's funny how life does not imitate always art. So people over 65, because they're the most at risk. So what can they maximize? And how can they mitigate whatever the health inequities are? It's really strange to think. I mean, I would love to be a fly on the wall and see how they're debating the nuances of this, because trust me, they're there. And then how long before it gets all the way down? Supposedly June, but then do we see any kind of a spin-off effect of this? But the first thing has to happen. They can't do an allocation guidance thing until a vaccine is formally approved and authorized by the FDA. So the Monday meeting of the panel was more informal. And they've had one of more than 25 of the group. They've had 25 that have held these meetings since April. Crazy, isn't it? All right, hang with us. I will meet you on the other side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Two more states certified their election results Monday, both being wins for former Vice President Joe Biden. Arizona and Wisconsin certified their results, while President Trump's legal team held a hearing on election integrity in Arizona, where the president's lawyers urged several state lawmakers in attendance to investigate alleged voting fraud in their state. President Trump, phoning into the hearing, said he and his team would not stop fighting for the election and promised more legal actions in other states.
Well, I will tell you, we are going to fight. We're taking it up all the way. We have additional cases being filed probably tomorrow in Wisconsin and in Georgia. And they're good cases. They're very strong cases by great lawyers with great facts. And Arizona will not forget what Ducey just did. We're not going to forget the people of Arizona.
This is USA Radio News. Vice President Mike Pence said on Monday that doses of the COVID-19 vaccine could begin shipping in 2 weeks. On a conference call with the country's governors, Pence said they are confident in the distribution plan they've developed. The chief science advisor for Operation Warp Speed agrees. Dr. Monsef Slaoui told Fox News that part of the plan relies on using existing vaccination infrastructure.
We're talking about maybe having 2 times more, 2.5 times more. It's not, you know, transformational. Therefore, we feel confident and comfortable that by using the channels that are normally used, so for instance, shipping through FedEx and UPS, using the same warehousing facilities used for the flu vaccines, and empowering each state health agencies to tell us where to ship the vaccines. The number of doses allocated to each state will be defined in proportion to the population of the state. I think things we expect to go pretty smoothly.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Wow, this time around at Author's Corner, excited to talk to Raymond J. Klein. His book is called Illuminations, Earning a Living with Dynamic Photography. And talk about being dynamic. I had a book delivered on my front porch. It would be this book from him. It is mind-blowing. The photographs in this and his journey and his story. And he starts off, chapter one, The Value of Imagination. I knew we were on the same page because I believe in imagination, and I think that's what is really behind so many of his incredible works of art, really, these photographs that took him a very long way from as a kid looking at National Geographic life and look to becoming a pro himself and having one of the all-time greatest ads, his setup for Sears that just blew away Sears and made all kinds of money and really put him on an incredible path. So, Raymond, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for this interview.
So let's talk about that. As a kid, I mentioned Life, Look, and National Geographic. You talk about that right away, that was a big influence on you, that as a kid you looked at that. Could you ever have imagined as a young boy having the kind of career in life you had with a camera?
I never imagined that at all. There were several times when you think of what it is you want to be. And I thought maybe I wanted to be a pilot at first. And then I thought, you know, after looking at all these pictures and starting to take pictures of different things, like the first picture that was published by the Milwaukee Journal, was just a Pictures from Readers contest, and I got $10 for it, you know. And I, my dad said, hey, you better take more pictures, you know.
Yeah, $10 isn't going to cut it. But what you made later on that iconic Sears ad was incredible. But I want to talk about something that influenced you. You said it, you know, looking at those magazines, thinking about that, and then you end up on this path where you are in the military and you get to use your skills. And I think that's significant in the book. Tell us about that, how that happened.
Well, I wanted to go to a photography school when I, you know, realized that I could take photos and get paid for them, you know, even though it was only $10 now and whenever I would get another one published, you know. So I wrote in my application to this photography school, which was in California, and then I got my draft notice. Fortunately, the first semester that I was working at the school, I met this military fellow who couldn't do his pictures very well, so I helped him. And then he helped me when I got my draft notice to link up with this photo unit. So even though I got into the photo unit and had to go through, like, the basics of photography and everything, which I already knew how to develop my own black and white film, how to make my own prints, how to process my own color film, you know, I had to go through the basics, but then I worked my way up to being an instructor in this photo unit. And when the Korean situation ended, we ended up going to Florida and becoming a unit that produced movies and still photographs for the Pentagon to inform them of the different things that were actually happening in the Air Force. And so this, you know, continued on until my honorable discharge, and I found right at that particular time, that was 1956, Cape Canaveral was in full swing, and here I was at an air base that was in Florida, and I read in the Orlando Sentinel that they were looking for photographers at Cape Canaveral. So I went down there, interviewed, got the job. And at that time, I wasn't really considered a photographer. I was considered a camera operator. And what we had was several cameras would be on a crossbar, and we'd have a sight that was looking at a rocket that was on a launch pad. And all we had to do, basically, was when the countdown came to T-minus 10 or whatever it was, we would switch our cameras on seconds just before the rocket would be ignited, and then we would have to track the rocket, and whatever happened would be recorded on the film. So that was my first experience. I was there for about, I don't know, 8-9 months, something like that, and I saw another ad in the paper from the Martin Company. They were looking for motion picture or still photographers, so I applied there. They had just built a new plant in Orlando, Florida, about maybe 10 miles south of Orlando. And so I applied there, and I had these pictures from the Air Force, and I had my motion picture camera experience from Cape Canaveral, so I got the job working at the Martin Company. And while I was there, they needed a sequence of pictures that showed the engineers at work in order to get other engineers interested in applying for jobs at the Martin Company. So one of the first photographs that you see in the book is that particular advertisement, along with several other black and white pictures that were also accomplished, you know, engineers at work. But this one was really the outstanding one that I think really interested several engineers into coming to work for the Martin Company. And
wow.
That picture was mailed out to universities and, you know, to cities, wherever engineers might be located that would want to come to work there, you know. So that was a pretty dynamic picture right there. So that's one of the first ones you see in the book, full page.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to, I don't want to run out of time because I want to get to the Sears ad because we could talk to you all day long, but we only have a limited amount of time. So, Raymond, tell us about Sears and working for Sears and that iconic ad that's in the book.
the one with the bathroom rugs you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Bathroom rugs and a cat. Siamese cat.
Right. Well, that that's part of the an explanation there of how an advertisement comes into being, because you know, several people will make drawings and whatnot, but this particular art director that I worked with, he had no idea what I was going to do. His picture was like a kind of a sketch with chalk on it with green colors, you know. And I worked with a stylist from Sears that brought in the little props that are sitting on the table where the cat is. And it took me like 3 days to make this setup so that it looked like all the rugs were suspended in space. And the cat was going to be on top of the bathroom rug that was right in the foreground. And so we had to, I call it tailoring, tailor the each of those rugs so they all look nice and crisp and had their little fringes standing up nice and tight, and got my strobe lights so that the cat, I had to photograph this on 11 by 14 inch film. And so I had a huge camera that would accept this size film, which we had rented. So what I want to get across to young people is that how much money actually goes into doing these kinds of things, and the equipment that I needed at that particular time. Today we probably could have done that, you know, I wouldn't need that huge camera. I could have used a, you know, a digital camera instead, but the art director wanted to have this large size film because he wanted that advertisement to be of extreme high quality. And fortunately, the way, you know, the printing operation happened at that particular time, it was good that he did that, because that advertisement just came out spectacular. That was a full page advertisement in a in the magazine section of the Sunday paper.
Wow.
And so that he told me about a week or two after the ad ran, he said, Ray, he said, you won't believe it. He said, that picture sold so many bathroom rugs that they had to go into production, you know, making more of those things, because they sold millions of dollars of that of those rugs.
Yeah, and so, you told me an interesting story. Millions of dollars of those rugs. So you moved product with your art slash photography in this ad, and you made some serious money by doing that. It took you a long time because you had to do the setup and all of that, right? From $10 to
right.
A really good payday.
Yeah, that's right.
And, I love it.
Actually, what happened, that locked me into that company, because I was like their prime photographer at that time. So the reason I wanted to do this book was to show young people what you can do. On the last page of the book, I have a sequence of 12 things that you should do in order to do, you know, spectacular pictures, and how to engage yourself with companies that can handle your particular capabilities.
So that's
what's necessary, and so I put in, you know, prices of day rates that you know, I went from these are billing rates. Now, I didn't get paid what they billed me at, you know, my salary, whatever it was at any particular time, was relevant to how many days I'd be working, you know.
Right.
But I made a good salary.
You made a great living, sir, and you are an incredible photographer. And you've got to look at those 12 steps, including be innovative, study magazines for ideas and techniques. I don't want to give it all away. Pick up the book, Raymond
right.
Klein. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Audi Arco T helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You know, we've been saying that the people are kind of find themselves in a little bit of a funk, and no surprise by things that are happening around us, but there's always things happening around us in this world. So this time around in Author's Corner, Kenneth Powell joins us, and he's written a book called Visions and Dreams, and they communicate from God or, you know, just us. Are they communication from God or just us is really the underlying theme, and it's the subtitle of the book. And it really, I took those words and I kind of flipped them around and flipped them in another direction, and I thought, wow, they're interchangeable. So, Kenneth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
And we need to tell people, first of all, about your incredible career. Some of you listening may recognize Kenneth's name. I mean, you're an incredible musician, incredible pianist, and you've traveled all over the world. Was that a gift that you honed and had from an early age?
Well, yes. Actually, like most small children, I took music lessons when I was 8 years old, but I didn't really like them. You know, my mom made me go. And but over time, I started. I wasn't a very socially outgoing person, so the piano became my friend later on. A few years after that, so I just kept at it until I started liking it, and so that's pretty much how it happened.
I love that description of what you just said, because I'm thinking to myself right now, I had piano lessons around that same age. Oh, Kenneth, I was terrible. I couldn't even, I mean, people say, oh, can't you even just play chopsticks? I was like, chopsticks was a concert, full-on concert for the neighborhood for me. So you are talented and skilled. Don't be shy about that. So in, you've met thousands and thousands of people. Is there a piece of music that you like the best that you play?
Oh, wow. not particularly. I'm not the kind of person that restricts myself to a single genre of music. I just kind of think of it all as just music. So it's all music to me. So I have lots of different favorites. I mean, it depends on I guess what time period you're talking about, what era, what region or country or what style. You know, I have so many, but I'm partial to jazz. You probably picked up on that. I love jazz piano, and I have lots of jazz influences from the golden age. So I guess I do lean toward that. But the classics, you can never go wrong with that either.
All right, so give us, you got, you're teasing us. Give us a classic.
Well, my favorite was Rachmaninoff, the Romantics. I love that era. And I played a lot of Chopin when I was taking lessons. So of course, if you play classical piano, yeah, those are going to be very too heavily influences. They're heavy influences on your stylings. And piano, oh my gosh, there's so many in jazz. Well, we could have Herbie Hancock from the moderns, you know, before that. My all-time favorite is Art Tatum, Errol Garner, Ahmad Jamal, McCoy Tyner, people like that.
Nice.
And I could talk all day about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You could. You've traveled all over the world, Germany, all these great places, and you definitely have fans in a lot of different ports. But this is different. So this book, Visions and Dreams, and are they communication from God or just us, as I said? Tell us about why you wrote this book.
Well, I was just thinking about dreams and how dreams occur in the Bible, and how there were so many people in the Bible who God communicated with through dreams. And I thought, well, does God still do that? I mean, we don't have any definitive answer to that question. So I thought, well, I should look around and see what the different opinions are about on that subject. And there are, it turns out, a lot of different opinions about it. And there's not really a consensus as to whether or not our dreams are really divine experiences, even though we all have them.
Right.
But they could
right.
be. You know?
Right. So it's interesting in finding that it had to be kind of fascinating for you, because you were exploring. You're like an explorer. So you're looking and reading one thing, and then you're moving to another part, biblically speaking, and putting this all together. Was that really fun, doing the research?
It was fun. Because I enjoy a challenge. I like stretching myself and challenging myself intellectually, which is why which is what I love best about being a college professor. You know, doing the research and that and teaching. I love the teaching part as well, but the research part I really got into it. So I was kind of in my element when I decided to research a topic strictly for my own curiosity and not for any occupational requirement or anything like that. So it was liberating in that regard.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that people, since dreams are a universal experience, universal experiences, I should say, we should consider very carefully whether or not the dreams we have, is it God trying to tell us something? If I think I have a divine dream, should I talk to someone about it? Who should I talk to? Should I find my own answers? And I hope that we take the subject. I hope that the reader takes the subject seriously enough to want to explore the topic for themselves.
Yeah, boy, well said. So you know that as a college professor, it's about getting people interested, and you definitely have us interested. There's no question about it. I have to ask you about your lovely wife that I read about, Shelley. What does she think? It's like, oh, boy, you're taking me on another adventure, Kenneth. What did she say?
Well, not much. She's been wonderful through the whole experience. She's very supportive, and I guess because I'm into a lot of other things, that it probably didn't surprise her very much that I'd attempted to write a book for the first time. I don't think she quite believed me when I told her I'm going to write a book, but nevertheless, she's been wonderful about it. She's been great, and she's been telling her friends and coworkers about it, and they've been calling me, congratulating me, and I was very touched by that.
Well, now you can add author to the list of things that you've done with this book, because you're a producer, recording artist, a composer, and you've worked in the music industry for more than 30 years. You're a professor, you've taught literature and composition courses at lots of different colleges, and I think if we met, you probably could really work with me on chopsticks.
I hope I remember the tune. How does that go?
Yeah, I got to sit next to an old piano and see if I can put my hands in the formation of that. It's so, so funny. You are such a delight. I love your sense of humor, and you're very, very uplifting, and you can feel that. So, Kenneth Powell, we want to tell everyone, pick up the book Visions and Dreams, and you can get that on Amazon. And thanks so much for sharing your story with the listeners. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists. where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots, or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, Alexa, I want to make a donation. Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.